What does it say about the economy with so many of us cautiously saving? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. While the Federal Reserve has a tradition of willful obscureness, its closely watched statement yesterday makes plain there is a puzzle to solve as the guardians of interest rates look ahead. To explain, we turn on Thursdays to Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So, reading through what the Federal Reserve said yesterday, it's so clear that they're a little bit confused about the future.
They know what's going on abroad. We've had a lot of turbulence abroad. Does that mean sort of some waves at home? But more importantly is, what's going on here? Why haven't consumers with all this extra cash in their pockets from falling energy prices continued to spend? Do we need wages to go up to finally have a self-sustaining gain? Because it does look like, at least for the moment, they're hibernating, and we need to know what that means going forward.
Think about the specifics of this. There was a report in the Wall Street Journal today that Target stores are going to raise the minimum wage for all employees to $9 an hour. Now, that of course, will be welcome to those employees, but that's not going to prompt a giant spending spree if you're getting $9 an hour.
We've seen minimum wage across state and local governments. About 29 states by June or so are going to have raised the minimum wage. We know a lot of it's spent because those people who are living on those minimum wages are literally living paycheck to paycheck. At the end of the day, we not only want to see those lower wages go up, we want to see more broad-based an ability to go from that part-time work to full-time jobs and also get a full-time job with benefits and a raise.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the newly configured Dow Jones Industrial Average, which began trading, 24 minutes ago. The Dow makes an okay headline, but few invest in the index. There's about $33 billion in Dow-connected investments and $1.9 trillion in S&P 500 index investments. While a company's market value is share price times the number of stocks, the Dow is distorted by its focus on just the dollar figure of the stock. We've been covering Apple joining the Dow this morning, but what about the company it replaces? Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has more on ticker symbol T.
Apple is in, AT&T is out. So what does that mean for the phone giant's stock price?
You would need a microscope to see the impact.
Georgetown finance professor Jim Angel says that's true for two reasons. One, there's an ocean of AT&T stock, tens of millions of shares traded each day. And two, only a few small buckets of that ocean are in index funds that track the Dow, buying just those 30 stocks.
Relatively speaking, you don't have a lot of index funds that track the Dow Jones Industrial Average because it's really a pretty cruddy index.
To me, the Dow is a great example of the power of incumbency.
Kevin Landis is the chief investment officer at First Hand Funds.
People follow the Dow because people in the past followed the Dow.
Created in 1896, the Dow is, maybe literally, your grandpa's stock index. But it's the younger, bigger relatives, like the S&P 500, that attract most of the index fund money and have the market-moving power to show for it. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
No, you should exercise, eat right, and buy fuel-efficient cars and trucks for the household budget, for climate change, whatever the reason. But after a few weeks of slightly higher gasoline prices, crude oil is down more than 4% right now, and that should push prices at the pump back down. For car and truck shoppers, this is causing cognitive dissonance. Marketplace's Noel King watched this play out.
Brian Hartman is a junior high math teacher in Illinois. He started shopping for a family car last winter. Gas prices locally were about $2.50 a gallon and falling. He was most interested in a Honda CR-V, which gets about 25 miles a gallon. Then,
one of the dealers had emailed me a really good price on a Honda Pilot, and the Pilot is down around 20.
That's 20 miles per gallon, so less fuel efficient.
But when you see $2.20 in falling gas, it turned into a night of research to determine if that was going to be a better choice.
The better choice?
When it came down to looking at how much more gas we were going to have to put in it, whether gas was $2 a gallon or $4, which seems feasible again, it was just going to be too much over the lifetime of owning the car.
Brian chose the CRV, but some data suggests that many people have decided to bet on gas prices staying low. Mark Wakefield is a managing director at Alex Partners, a business advisory firm. He looked at auto sales in the first 2 months of this year versus last year, when gas prices were much higher. The number of autos sold was about the same, but the type of car?
This year, January-February, compared to last year's January-February, there's 1 million more trucks sold this year. So you can see how the consumers are voting.
SUV sales are also up. Jessica Caldwell is a senior analyst at Edmunds.com.
But I think the thing of note here is that a lot of SUVs aren't really the gas guzzlers we once thought they were. And in fact, one of the best-selling segments right now is the compact crossover, which is the smallest version of an SUV.
Which can be more fuel efficient. Caldwell says she doesn't think people have forgotten that gas prices can rise at any time.
When you think about the psychology of your standing at the pump once a week, sometimes more than once a week, and you see that number go up, it's not something that you set it and forget it. It's something that's very real that you see.
She and other analysts say it's worth remembering that the price of gas is only one factor in how and what people choose to buy. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And there's word Tesla can sell its electric cars in New Jersey directly to consumers without going through traditional dealerships. The dealerships had pushed back against Tesla's plan, but the governor there, Chris Christie, has now signed a law to modify the rules. It's often said that regulation tends to favor incumbents, and other New Jersey peculiarities like this will remain, including the fact that it's illegal in the state to pump your own gas, something that will be completely irrelevant for Tesla drivers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.